is proud to co-sponsor Art Burst Northwest Saturday and Sunday, August 2nd and 3rd at Merrillhurst University. Art Burst Northwest is produced by and for artists, open for all to attend, and celebrating arts and creativity of the region, with the accompaniment of food, music, shaded dining, and lounging in a relaxed outdoor atmosphere. More than 100 Pacific Northwest artists from all media will show their work.
Again, that's Art Burst Northwest Saturday, August 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday, August 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Merrillhurst University, between the cities of Lake Oswego and West Lynn. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to the Health and Healthcare Forum. I'm Roberta Hall. Our series on health and healthcare features conversations about diverse health concerns. I enjoy these conversations, and I hope you do too. Today on the Health and Healthcare Forum, we have two guests. They are Laurel Kinsel, she's been on the program before, and Diana Rollman. Laurel is the, how is it said, chief?
I like chief. I'm the director of the Community Outreach and Engagement Corps of the Environmental Health Sciences Center at Oregon State University.
Okay, and her background, of course, is public health. Well, they're doing a lot of work with communities and some issues involving materials, mostly in the air, that affect people's health. Now we have devices that will measure the materials in the air and allow us to have a better understanding of what's there in any kind of ordinary environment, and beyond that, in an environment that is believed to have certain polluted materials in it, and it can be done in a way that you can pinpoint it to the place. So these are really pretty major breakthroughs, and a researcher here, Kim Anderson, was one of the persons, or many persons, involved in helping this get going. But Laurel, do you want to give just a little bit more background on that?
Dr. Kim Anderson is a professor. She's a chemist working in the environmental and molecular toxicology, and she has worked for years developing not only devices or tools in order to measure, but the analytical ability. She has an amazing lab, and her lab standards and techniques are really very novel, and she's able to measure and analyze in certain sampling tools things that have not been measured before. So she has really been on the forefront, and she is one of the investigators in the Environmental Health Sciences Center. We work closely with her on several projects, hoping to help build and develop the tools and the ability for community members to use these tools and measure what is of interest to them in their communities.
That's great. As I understand it, and there's a wonderful little video on your website that I looked at, that explains that the silicone bracelet or wristband is modeled to be sort of like an organic membrane that can accept and does accept materials in the atmosphere to come in, but it was originally used underwater.
Correct. It can be used what we call in different media. So it can be used to collect air samples, but it can also be used to collect water samples and also in sediment.
So that's a wide range of areas, and it doesn't pick up things like lead or materials of that sort, minerals.
Correct. It is only specific for collecting things that are semi-volatile and are in the air in a vapor phase. So it can't collect things such as metal, which lead is a metal, so it can't collect particulates as well.
But it can still collect hundreds and hundreds of the materials.
Thousands, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
So using that device and some others that Diana will be talking about in a little bit, it's possible now to find out what an individual is actually exposed to in the air of those types of materials that we just discussed. So let's talk about a couple of the projects, and then we'll get in a little more detail. One of them is relatively close by here in the Willamette Valley in the Eugene area, West Eugene. Would you like to give a little on that? Would Diana be the right person to talk about that project?
Sure. Yeah, and perhaps Diana needs to also introduce herself and her role in our Environmental Health Sciences Center.
Hi, so this is Diana. I am the Outreach and Engagement Coordinator for the Community Outreach and Engagement Corps of the Environmental Health Sciences Center. It's a mouthful. So I started working here almost exactly a year ago, and one of the first projects that I started working on was the project in West Eugene. So this is in collaboration with Beyond Toxics, and the goal of the project was to create a device that can concurrently measure your exposure to chemicals in the air, as well as your lung function, and then the final part is your location. So we use a GPS tracker to link all three of those. So we've called the entire thing the mobile exposure device, because you can carry it around with you as you go.
Mobile exposure. So, in the
barometer.
The spirometer. Wow.
And it does not do anything but measure lung function.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't give you your VO2 and all that sort of stuff that, I mean, I'm familiar with big spirometers.
Right, the ones you see in a hospital setting. This will give you it's called the FEV1, which is the forced expiratory volume. What volume can you exhale in the first second? And then it will also give you your forced vital capacity, or the total volume of air that you can exhale in 6 seconds for this test.
And this device is only about, 3 inches by 6 or 7, something like that?
When you have the mouthpiece in, it's going to be about 6, but it does break down to about 3 inches by 3 inches. It's very lightweight.
And lightweight so that a person could carry it around to work, let's say,
yes,
and home and so forth, and not really have a problem with that.
Yes, and they'd have to carry a cell phone with them as well.
And the cell phone would be used to give the time and the location.
It does that. So the cell phone's actually kind of the glue to the whole thing. The cell phone does have an alarm on it. So we ask that people take a spirometry reading in the morning, the noon, and at night. And if you're like me and you don't remember that very easily, we've just set like a normal cell phone alarm that people can set the times to work with their schedule to remind them in the morning, noon, and evening. So that's one of the things. The other is that it actually has an application on it that was created by another investigator here at Oregon State, Dr. Chris Scafidi. He created an app that will actually take the spirometry data from the spirometer and transmit it to the phone via Bluetooth. And then that data is transmitted to the rest of the research team at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratories to analyze it. And then the cell phone is also taking the GPS readings.
Wow. It's amazing what such a small device can do.
Yes.
And how people got by without one. But we did. But we didn't get this range of information. So what is there about West Eugene? Now, at one time we had the director of Beyond Toxics on the show as well, and she was talking about the development of that project with schools, I believe, in the West Eugene area. But could you just remind us what...
Sure. So that was a little before my time, but she ended up actually working with a graduate student in the College of Public Health, and they were doing this study looking at childhood asthma in schools. So they did a study looking at schools throughout Eugene, and they looked at self-reported rates of childhood asthma. And what that pilot study showed was that there did appear to be a higher incidence of asthma in children in West Eugene versus the rest of the city. And so that was sort of the trigger for this.
The self-report data.
Self-reported data. So there was a higher incidence of asthma in West Eugene. And then the concern was if you have higher asthma and there's concern that there's a higher exposure to air pollution, could those two be related? And so this mobile exposure device is sort of the first step at looking into that.
And it's one that can be quantitative?
We can quantitate the concentration of the chemicals you're exposed to, and then also your lung function is quantitative.
And as I understand it, this is really in its beginning phase. First, you've of course had to test to see whether a person could remember to do it.
Yes.
And it wouldn't impede their normal schedule and all that kind of stuff. And then when you get the permissions in place and the devices and the funding, it will be a larger study.
Yes. So this study, I think, is very unique because of the degree of community participation we've had. Like you said, the first step was really just seeing, can people carry it around and it's not going to impact their daily schedule? So we did hold focus groups with individuals and we asked for their input on the design of the device. We asked them to go through all the steps of, if the alarm goes off, can you follow the steps to take the test correctly? So we went through that and we incorporated all that feedback to create a second iteration of the device. And then we had a few people carry it around for a week and then give us feedback on that as well so that we can continue designing it to be better and easier for someone to use.
Do is put out a lot of effort and get data that really aren't workable.
Exactly, or that's something that's a burden for a person to do.
Thank you.
And I just want to apologize. The Health and Healthcare Forum CD is giving us a little bit of a problem. We have a technical difficulty, but we are trying to resolve that. Do stay tuned, and we will bring to you as much of that as we can. Meanwhile, we're listening to Brian QTN, who is a local musician. Local Eugene. Eugene's not too far away. And the CD is titled Guitared and Feathered. It's all guitar music. Brian QTN. And we just want to apologize once again for not being able to finish Health and Healthcare Forum with host Roberta Hall because of a CD failure. So thank you for listening to the Monday Radio Zine, and we will be concluding the Radio Zine at this time and turning it over to Greta Christie for the Noontime Jamboree. So, yeah, it is. You do have it tuned to KBOO Portland.
One red hot needle and a burning thread, boys.
I'm sewing up my coat of love with a red hot needle and a burning thread. I'm fixing up my coat of love so it will keep me warm. And a burning lead. I'm sewing up my coat of love, so now just let it storm. I'm in a hurry, gotta make up time. That's why I'm using speed. I'll patch it, patch it, stitch it, stitch. Well, she's the one I need. I hope she's in a hurry too, with a red hot needle and a burning thread. 'Cause then our love will be like new, and it will keep us warm.
Thank you.
It is 12:01. You're tuned to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. It's the Noontime Jamboree, and I'm Rheta Christie in today with Chris, who just walked in. Chris, how are you?
I'm harried.
Oh, you're harried.
Yeah, the traffic today is really not fun.